This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
We had the second edition of the college football playoff rankings last night on ESPN. ESPN's own Reese Davis joining us now on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Reese, hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us. Before we get into the rankings from last night, we've been discussing some of the news that's come out, the ACC making scheduling adjustments, and Notre Dame now locks up a spot in the championship game. Just kind of your thoughts, your reaction, maybe the precedent that it sets moving forward.
I don't think it sets any precedent for future seasons. I think that everybody is trying to adapt and do things as well as they can, given the current constraints with the pandemic and the protocols that have resulted from COVID-19. So I actually think it was fair and proper that way. Neither team, assuming Clemson wins on Saturday night, neither team gains an advantage by having an extra off week, and it also keeps in play that should somehow miraculously Virginia Tech upset Clemson, then Miami does have to jump through an extra hoop, but that's probably the right thing, given the fact that Clemson handled them as easily as they did. So it doesn't take anything away from Miami, although they would have to, you know, win their two remaining games. And it puts Clemson and Notre Dame, the most likely teams to be in the championship game, on equal footing going into it.
Reese, you were visibly frustrated, maybe upset. I don't know the exact word that I would use last night when you kind of countered back to the guest that you had on the panel with you after the rankings were revealed about teams potentially ducking opponents and some of the accusations that come with that, some of the discussion that comes with that. I'm kind of in line with you that we have no proof that any of this is happening. We can have opinions and we can have other people's opinions that we share. How would you like to see us in the media and college football fans handling those particular situations moving forward?
I think you have to evaluate how provable it is when somebody tells you something. You like me, Cole, and I'm speculating here because you and I haven't spoken about this. Coaches have insinuated or outright said all across the country that they feel like that, you know, teams are ducking them. But you also have been around enough coaches, and I hate to make this blanket statement, but this time of year, most all coaches are in for a good conspiracy theory that somebody's out to get them, you know? and probably if there are situations where, you know, a coach might have his job in peril and then he's expected to go into a game with, you know, 53 players and a great number of them are really young or, you know, not very far up the depth chart, and there's going to be some cause for concern and they feel as if they can't compete. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a widespread thing, at least, and if it is, it's certainly not something that people would go on the record and tell you. So I don't have any problem with any of our guys relaying that this is what coaches are saying, that this is what, you know, this is what is being speculated about. But, you know, it just needs, you know, we just all need to make sure that we're evaluating it in a proper context. And I think that, you know, Kirk clarified his position, you know, both later on and on Twitter afterwards. And I think that was certainly very sufficient. You know, my take on it that I did get animated about is if in fact this is true, and I'm not saying that it is, but if in fact there are situations that, calls for any team ducking another team, when they in fact could play. I'm not talking about if they don't have, you know, enough healthy guys to safely play. If they meet the criteria or could meet the criteria established by their respective conferences and then choose not to for reasons other than health, then that speaks to a lack of character. That's what I think, in a lack of competitive spirit. And I don't think that many athletes want to play in a program that, that used competition in that way.
Reese, in regards to last night's rankings, obviously most people down here, they're looking at Alabama thinking they're going to win their remaining regular season games, go to the SEC championship game. But if they were to stub their toe, so to speak, against the Florida Gators, what position is Alabama in regards to making that Final Four?
It depends on the other things happening. Most notably, it depends on Ohio State and the number of games that it plays and what happens with Notre Dame and Clemson. Now, I think I'm going through all the scenarios in my head correctly. If Alabama were to lose to Florida and Notre Dame defeats Clemson, then there's room for Alabama and Ohio State, you know, assuming Ohio State at least gets in a couple more games. The problem would come if Clemson beats Notre Dame in a really close game, and Ohio State, say, is 7-0 and is looking impressive doing it, then you're going to have Florida and Clemson, who would be in for sure. Then you'd have two spots for three teams and choose among Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Alabama. And in that particular instance, I sort of suspect that Alabama would get the nod, would get the last spot, but I would say that they would be vulnerable, as all three of those teams in that situation would be vulnerable, and everybody would be holding their breath on Selection Sunday. So I don't think they're a lock, and a lot of it would probably depend on how the game is played. The diciest thing for the committee would be for the ACC and SEC championship games to both be absolute great barn burner games, and for Florida to win, you know, on a late score by a single possession, and for Clemson to do the same thing. I would think that in that case, that Clemson's probably got a really strong case. Clemson would have, Notre Dame, probably each of those teams would have what would be considered the best win, but Alabama would have more in that case in terms of, you know, having a victory over Georgia, a victory over Texas A&M. So it would be a difficult decision. I don't think you can say that they're an absolute lock, but I would lean toward them probably finding their way in, assuming that the game was hotly contested and close. You know, it's hard to imagine Alabama getting blown out by anybody, but any of those teams in that situation, or either of those teams, I guess, because Ohio State doesn't have any margin for error. But if Notre Dame or Alabama were to, you know, really get whacked in their championship game, then I think that could tilt the scales against them.
ESPN's Reese Davis joining us on three-man front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. Not to scenario you to death, Reese, but let me throw out another one. I posed this to the guys yesterday. Say Alabama, they beat Florida in the SEC championship game. So we naturally assume the Gators, with two losses, they're eliminated. You have a close rematch with Notre Dame and Clemson. Clemson winning that rematch. Let's assume Ohio State makes the Big Ten championship game, wins that. What do you do with Texas A&M when it comes down to Notre Dame and Clemson, the loser of that game? What are you doing with a one-loss A&M team, assuming that they run the table the rest of the regular season?
No, that's easy to me. A&M, I don't think A&M can make it in as a second team from the SEC, barring upsets prior to the championship game, because there are a couple things at play. One, I mean, Notre Dame would easily, in my judgment, be ahead of Texas A&M. In the scenario you just laid out. And the other thing, and I've been pretty consistent on this over the years, how you lose matters. They lost by four touchdowns. They didn't lose by 4 points. You know, and they lost to Alabama. It's the same logic I applied to Ohio State the years that they got left out, after having been blown out by Iowa and Purdue. You know, a little bit different because those were lesser teams and worse losses. But I also applied it the year that people were clamoring for Penn State to get in rather than Ohio State, when Penn State beat them and won the Big Ten championship. But Penn State had two losses, and one of those losses wasn't, you know, a close game. They lost by 39 at Michigan. You know, there are certain margins, I think, that really hurt your resume. Some of them, in Penn State's case, that year were disqualifying. I wouldn't say that A&M's loss went into the realm of disqualifying, in my judgment, but it, you know, the best thing on your resume, or second best thing on your resume in this case, can't be a four touchdown loss. You know, if it were a 4 point loss, I would probably look at it differently. But I think, barring, you know, Florida or Alabama or something stubbing their toe prior to the SEC championship game, and other scenarios might allow A&M to work its way in as a second team. An undefeated Alabama against Florida, a one-loss Florida in the SEC championship game, I think really, really makes it tough for A&M to go in as a second team from the SEC, because if Florida wins the SEC championship, then Alabama's still ahead of A&M with one loss and the big victory against them head-to-head. And if Alabama defeats Florida, then, you know, then it's a two-loss Florida team and certainly a great win, but you still have, you have Cincinnati, you have the other ACC team. I think it's a really difficult situation. I think they need a lot of losing around them to be able to get into the playoff.
Reese, I feel like every year the College Football Playoff Committee has, I guess, different bookmarks, so to speak, different things that they value a little bit more. Maybe there's different people that have different influence and push different parts of different teams, be it schedule, be it analytics, be it logos, or just the resume in general. Are there any outliers that you see this year as to maybe how this committee might be different or thinking or seeing things different from previous committees, like a Georgia, an Iowa State, a BYU, teams of that nature that can kind of guide you down the paths of maybe what this committee values more than other things?
It's been a little, I think they had a little bit of a market correction and maybe even an overcorrection if you just looked at it on 1 week on Iowa State. Now, look, I think Iowa State's a really good team, but it was almost as if they, market corrected and said, wait a minute, they're playing really well. They beat Oklahoma, but they jumped four spots after winning a game that, in my judgment, Texas probably deserved a game ball, for helping them win that game. I mean, not that they didn't make some plays, being a little facetious, but, it wasn't like they went in there and just, dominated the game. So they jumped and market corrected there, yet there wasn't that same consideration given to BYU. But in fairness to the committee, BYU's schedule and accomplishments in terms of who they've beaten is nothing compared to Iowa State's, and I understand that. So those two things have sort of stood out to me, and it also allowed them to be more in alignment in valuing the head-to-head result, which they are still valuing right now for Texas A&M over Florida, and in my judgment, rightly so. I think there will come a time if Florida wins the SEC that Florida's, the proverbial body of work will be better than A&M's and will trump that close loss. So it's, they aligned a little bit more consistently with head-to-head, I think, by moving Iowa State last night. But reasonable minds can differ on this stuff. I know we all have different perspectives. I think they're undervaluing BYU. I don't think BYU has the complete picture to be in the discussion and in real consideration for a playoff spot. But I also think it will be an injustice if they don't make it into one of the New Year's Six bowls, because I think, assuming that they beat San Diego State and finish it, I think what they have put on tape at the very least merits that.
Reese, in regards to the Big Ten and their current standards for making the title game, do you think that they're having discussions right now about the potential of changing those minimal standards?
I don't know if they're having discussions, and maybe I should know, but they played a lot of things pretty close to the vest. But I don't know if they're having discussions. I don't think that would be unreasonable, because I understand the thought process behind it. But now that you've gotten into it, everybody's sort of learning as they go with the challenges that the various protocols and different conferences provides to teams on a weekly basis. And there is something that needs to be considered about going out there and putting it on the line and being able to beat teams you're supposed to beat. And I'm not trying to pick on the Buckeyes, but if I had my years correct, of 17 and 18, they had games against teams that they should have handled with ease that they ended up getting blasted, and it cost them a playoff spot. So that is part of the accomplishment. That said, I don't think there's any question from watching them play even through four games that they're the best team in the conference. And in my mind, there's no question about that. So and there's no real worthy competitor on that side of the conference to that claim. So if they reworked it, I would not be offended by that. I wouldn't think that it was something geared just to help Ohio State. I think it would be just something that would be aimed at avoiding penalizing them for something that they really, really can't control. And it seems at this juncture, if they aren't able to get their last two games in, just based on the way it seems as we speak here on Wednesday, and we know how quickly these things can change, that it will be the result of their opponents not being able to play and not the result of them not being able to play, barring further outbreaks, because they appear, from everything that we've been told and have been able to gather the last couple of days, they appear to be on track to play against Michigan State on Saturday. So long story short, which is impossible as I've rambled on at this point, I don't know if they're having the discussions, but I don't think it would be improper if they are, because Ohio State is clearly the best team in the Big Ten to me.
All right, Reese, take us and our listeners back a couple of weeks ago. Describe the experience that was Augusta National and doing a live broadcast there overlooking Ike's Pond.
It was really a cool experience, and the show over the years has gone a lot of different places and had a lot of unique venues and setups. But I think a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to dovetail in with one of the iconic events on the sports calendar every year was something special. People at Augusta National could not have been more hospitable or more welcoming to us, and we were very grateful for that. And it was a great experience. It was really, really cool to be there. It was certainly it was certainly different without patrons being on the course to watch. But the first thing I asked when we made these plans was, are we going to have to watch our volume when we talk? And we were far enough removed. They said, no, that won't be an issue. Just do the show as normal. And it was, picturesque and beautiful. And the people there couldn't have been nicer. And it was a really unique opportunity to dovetail those things together.
Great stuff. Reese Davis, ESPN. Reese, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. You do great work. Let's hope that all these games come together and we get championship games and we get a college football playoff.
I sure hope so. I think we're on track. I think we're gonna make it happen, and hopefully everybody stays healthy out there, and we can do so as safely as possible.
All the best to you and your family this holiday season. Thank you, Reese.
You guys too. Thanks for having me on.
ESPN's Reese Davis joining us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. An easy drinking hard seltzer, just 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.
This is Three Man Front.